Street numbers keep rising, but what about us? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We have been seeing record highs in the S&P and the Dow in recent days, but we want to also talk about what's happening in the real economy. So let's do that with Diane Swonk at DS Economics. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So we have a little bit of additional economic data out this morning. What are you seeing right now?
Well, certainly the PPI and the jobless claims are a little more bullish than what the Beige Book told us about the economy, which was really kind of tepid in the month of June. They suggest that prices, in fact, are firming a little more and the labor market continues to improve. That the result, though, has left the Fed sort of on cruise control, that the economy is moving forward, but in the context of a global economy that still has a lot of turbulence in it, so they're willing to sort of stay on the sidelines given the turbulence abroad.
And we've seen these several days of win streaks and record highs in the stock market, but what's actually going on as far as the real economy out there?
You know, this is one of the interesting things, is the stock market certainly reacted very negatively to things like Brexit and some policy reactions abroad. The stock market continues to discount what are the real policy risks in the world, even though our central bankers are not. But in fact, the real policy risk could undermine economic growth, as we saw with Brexit. And I think you're going to see the Federal Reserve stay on the sidelines through the end of the year because they need to see the outcome of the election and where policy is going to assess what that might mean for the economy going forward. I think Brexit and how the vote was came down also underscores the desire to roll back time for many people across the developed world, and the U.S. is not immune to that. The reality, though, is no politician can turn back the hands of time, and many of the promises they're making are actually economically not only infeasible, but impossible to attain.
Okay, Diane Swonk at DS Economics. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Today, Line, the Japanese messaging company, is trading on Wall Street. That is why some poor soul had to dress up in a brown bear costume to help ring the opening bell this morning. It is the biggest tech IPO so far this year. Marketplace's Jed Kim looks at why messaging apps are in such high demand.
There are a lot of ways to send a message and sounds to go with them, whether it's a or whatever that thing is my mom uses to chat with family in Korea. Now there's Line. Aside from cute cartoon characters and emoji-like stickers, Line offers free chat, free calls, not exactly a new service.
There are dozens of them.
Roger Entner is with Recon Analytics. He says the reason Line has succeeded in a world with so many options was its early foothold in Japan.
Whoever goes into a market first has a significant advantage.
Why is Line's IPO valued at nearly $7 billion?
Well, a lot of it's the timing.
Rob Enderle analyzes technology. He says after Brexit,
people are really looking for a big pop, a large return on an investment, looking for that next Facebook, next WhatsApp, whatever.
He says if Line's IPO goes well, we'll probably see more messaging apps this year. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Whether it's at weddings, festivals, or religious ceremonies, gold is extremely popular in India. It's thought that about 20,000 tons are stashed away in homes, businesses, and temple vaults. Now the government is offering incentives to get some of that gold back into the economy. From southern India, here is Shilpa Kanan with our partners at the BBC.
Tirumala Tirupati, one of India's holiest Hindu shrines. The temple's collection boxes have amassed billions of dollars worth of cash, jewelry, and gold. Now the government is trying to get more of this gold into banks. Wealthy Hindu temples are crucial to India's plans of tapping into privately held gold. The government has launched the gold monetization scheme for this. Tirupati is one of the first temples to sign up. It gets interest payments on the gold it hands over. Samba Shivarao is the executive officer in charge of the temple trust.
We need to store it in a safe, secure condition. Instead of keeping it in our treasury, this scheme helps us to earn interest.
The gold collected from temple trusts and individuals is brought by banks into refineries. And this, where I am, is the biggest refinery in the country. After it's melted down, the gold is then loaned to jewelers, reducing what they need to bring in from abroad. But most of India's gold is not in temples, but people's homes in the form of jewellery. So is this where the scheme needs to focus?
It was designed for the households. So if you look at the minimum deposit, it's as low as 30 grams of gold. And that is household gold.
Rajesh Khosla is the managing director of MMTC PAMP, the refinery that is taking the gold deposits under the monetization scheme.
The housewife trusts the bank. So once she knows that, yes, this is something I can do with my gold jewellery that I'm no longer wearing, give it to the bank, put it in a deposit and earn interest on it. So banks need to popularize the scheme.
At Delhi's popular jewellery market, there are large crowds at most shops. But it's exactly because gold is so popular that it's proving hard to tempt Indians to hand it over. Gold has always been seen as a way to store wealth. And it shows no sign of losing its shine.
Shilpa Kanan. And finally, Senator Bernie Sanders is wasting no time turning his surprising run at the White House into a book deal. Just after the election in November, he will be out with a book titled Our Revolution, A Future to Believe In. His publisher says it'll include policy ideas and an inside take of the campaign that took him from long shot to serious challenger. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.